You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Friday morning. That means it is time for a set apart to serve conversation. And I want to know, maybe you want to know, what does it take to establish a strong foundation for church work formation and recruitment in the culture of our congregations, our schools, and our whole church body? What does it take for this to become a regular part of the conversation in weekly in our congregations, for it to be a part of our culture? We've been talking about this for a number of years.
Yeah.
Multiple years, over 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 4 years yet? Maybe.
You know, I have lost track.
I shouldn't ask you.
No, I have no idea.
We're going to talk with two district presidents today, how a set apart to serve is becoming a part of their congregations and their districts as well. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Nebraska. You can learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska by visiting cune.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Lucas Woodford. He's president of the LCMS Minnesota South District. He also serves as a regent for Concordia University St. Paul and associate pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Farmington, Minnesota. Pastor Woodford, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us today, the Reverend David Nairns. He's president of the LCMS Oklahoma District and pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Norman, Oklahoma. Pastor Nairns, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
So today we get to talk about set apart to serve and recruitment and church worker formation all being a part of the culture of our congregations, our districts, and our church body as a whole, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And as we talk about that, let's start with your stories. Pastor Woodford, tell us about your path to becoming a pastor and then how that led to then district president as well.
Sure. Briefly, some of the most formative influences for me for becoming a pastor was my own pastor and his wife. In eighth grade, they noticed something, I'm not sure what it was, but said, hey, you know, you really should think about being a pastor. And I thought, oh, okay. And I was grew up part of LCMS, all life, regular attender. My dad was elder, regular family, very active church. And so when they said that, I thought, okay, that sounds good. And I kept that in mind and thought it was a good idea. And as I went through high school, then I thought, well, as long as I can go to college and still play football, this sounds like a good idea. So I went pre-sem at Concordia in St. Paul. And there I usually say I majored in football and minored in my wife, but I should probably be the reverse where it was. So we were married right after college, then went on to seminary. And then served First Call in Wisconsin at First Emmanuel, Cedarburg, Wisconsin, and then was called to Minnesota in 2005 and served Zion Lutheran Church and School there. And from there, then was elected district president in 2018. But along the way, because my pastor was so informative and encouraging me to consider the ministry, many confirmands and many other individuals along the way began encouraging, hey, you ought to think about ministry, teaching ministry, you think about being a pastor, and just planting those seeds, as we'll see, become so important along the way, raising up a culture of future church workers.
Yeah, it's interesting, the snowball effect, and we'll talk more about that in just a minute. Pastor Nairns, tell us about your path to becoming a pastor and district president. I know we've covered this at length before, but a short version of your story of becoming pastor and district president.
Yeah, snowball effect. That's a good way to put it. I grew up in Lakewood, Ohio, went to parochial school, Lakewood Lutheran School. I was influenced by my pastor, by my grandfather and my father, who was a painting contractor, and my grandpa was a dentist. Went to Lutheran High School in Rocky River, Ohio. Already knew when I was in eighth grade I wanted to be a pastor and started taking Latin. So then I went to Concordia Ann Arbor, Concordia River Forest, got teaching degrees, and then I went to the seminary in Fort Wayne. And then my first parish was in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. I was a mission pastor. Didn't have their own building. I was a mission pastor. And then in 88, I came to Trinity in Norman, Oklahoma. I've been here since 1988. And I was elected district president in 2022. Oklahoma, we don't have a building or an office, so I'm still full-time in the parish in Norman, and I'm also district president. So it's much like Lucas, pastors, your grandpa, your dad, and teachers had influence on me. So already when I was in eighth grade, I knew I wanted to be a pastor.
So both of you had significant influence from those around you, from your family, from those in your church who encouraged you to consider church work, even if that included studying football along the way.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
Let's talk about what's going on in your districts. In what ways are you and your district forming and recruiting church workers? Let's talk about Minnesota South, Pastor Woodford.
Sure. Yeah, with the Set Apart to Serve initiative, we wanted to participate. And the way we've certainly done that is we've got some local champions who are just passionate about our young people being mindful about how can we get that idea in front of them about being a church worker. So as the district supports and or helps organize Set Apart to Serve and utilizes all the resources that is put out, we also have our my team and my staff, but then also champions who are out in the parish at the commissioned level and at the ordained level. And so Pastor Miller is just a real champion for us. He serves at Jehovah and St. Paul, but then also part-time as an adjunct faculty at CSP. He's in contact regularly with a lot of young folks, and we utilize him in multiple events that we have around the district and being mindful of whenever we have a district event, we have Set Apart to Serve, have an opportunity to speak and talk to our, whether it's our commissioned workers or our ordained gathering, whatever it is, just as a reminder about encouraging our young people and getting in front of them. Likewise, at our high schools, Pastor Miller is often present, or myself or my team often present at our high schools or grade schools, just to talk about what might it mean to consider being a church worker, a teacher or a pastor or a DCE, and really encouraging that. So in Minnesota South, we really have developed a big partnership also with CSP, Concordia University in St. Paul, which is my alma mater, where I played football, of course, and of course did my undergrad. But there they have tremendous scholarships for church workers. Pre-seminary, you'd only pay room and board, no tuition. And likewise then for our commission route, maximum you'd pay $6,000 of tuition for that. So we have a tremendous partnership along those lines as well to try and facilitate and build up, encourage those who might be thinking about church work or those who haven't been to plant the seeds. And we do that certainly for our young people, but also second career, both in the colloquy for teachers we're looking at, but also second career for pastors as well.
Pastor Nairns, tell us about what's happening with Set Apart to Serve and encouraging church work in the Oklahoma district.
So we have a committee that's headed by Pastor Joshua Brackage, who's a pastor of Holy Trinity in Edmond. And so we have commission workers, pastors, and lay people on that team. He's also very, very enthusiastic about raising up church workers. We're probably not as far as long as Pastor Woodford's district. We're beginning this process, but our district convention, June 13th and 14th, the entire emphasis is Set Apart to Serve. Dr. Bonick is our keynote speaker. The offerings are going to Set Apart to Serve. The whole title of the convention is Praying to the Lord of Harvest for Workers. So basically, our entire district convention's focus is going to be Set Apart to Serve. And so that's pretty exciting. We do have kind of what his district, we have funds available for people who want to colloquize. We also have we also have the number of students at all the various Concordias where we pay significant amounts of money, you know, $3,000 to $4,000 a semester to help them pay for their expenses. So we have quite a large fund to help anybody who wants to go into church work. So we're pretty excited about Dr. Bonick being with us basically next week.
That's fantastic. Why is a mindset of formation and recruitment important, not just for the district office level, but for everybody across the district? Pastor Nairns.
Oh, because that's really where it starts. I mean, like Pastor Woodford was saying, we always emphasize Set Apart to Serve at all our church workers' conferences. So the Spring Church Worker Conference, what Pastor Brackage talked about, Set Apart to Serve, I asked everybody in the group who were DCEs and pastors, how many of you were influenced by someone in your congregation who encouraged you to go into church work? And almost every single hand went up. So we don't need to do studies about this. We just know by anecdotal evidence, which is really important here, it's almost everybody, somebody at their church or their family is the one who encouraged them. So, I mean, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. That's what you do. You know, if every single pastor and DCE and teacher could single out somebody in the classroom and plant the seed, hey, you know, you'd be a good teacher. You'd be a good pastor. My Sunday school teacher in fifth grade said, hey, Davey, you should be a pastor. You know, here I am all these years later. I still remember that in fourth grade.
Pastor Woodford, your thoughts on why developing this mindset for formation and church worker recruitment is important, not just in the district office, but across congregations and schools?
Yeah, it goes towards, of course, the future of our church and developing that, handing off the baton, if you will, raising up the next generation of leaders and servants within the church. And so being mindful of that. And in my last congregation, both all the ministry I've served prior to coming into the district office was at a place that had a school, usually a large school affiliated with it. And so a lot of opportunity, daily touches with kids and thinking that through and recognizing how it shapes the church and seeing now where those that I baptized or that I confirmed and then getting married and then now the first one that I had confirmed now just received a call, his first into ordained ministry. And so you see that culture, that's encouragement along the way. And it takes a lot of people along the way encouraging and staying the course, but it goes to the future of certainly of the church. We're mindful of it as we wrestle with the changing realities of where our church is at today demographically and the numbers of available church workers and the shortage that we have, certainly of teachers, but then also of pastors as we try to look at that we want to have, if you will, a pipeline of those who have been considering and looking at church work who are ready to step forward and take up the mantle as Elijah handed it to Elisha. Likewise, we have that mentality going on in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and wanted to continue that on. So we're always thinking about the future.
We're talking about building a culture of church worker formation and recruitment in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod across districts and congregations. We'll chat more with Pastor Woodford and Pastor Nairns in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Nebraska, discover a distinctly Christian community that equips students to live by faith with courage, character, and conviction. Intentionally combining our Christian faith, Lutheran heritage, rigorous academics, and practical real-life experiences, we prepare students to fulfill a higher purpose in their vocations and life. Learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at our website, cune.edu. That's cune.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're chatting about building a culture of church worker formation and recruitment across congregations and districts, schools in the LCMS. What does that look like? Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Lucas Woodford, president of LCMS Minnesota South District, and the Reverend David Nairns, president of LCMS Oklahoma District. Let's talk about the collaboration that it takes to make this happen, to develop this culture. You both have referenced congregations and schools and Concordia University, St. Paul. You've talked about collaborating across the district and those who are working together to continue building this culture of church worker formation and recruitment. Why is it important that we work together, that we collaborate in order to grow this culture of church worker recruitment and church worker formation? Pastor Nairns, why is this collaboration so important?
Well, because our members are moving across the country all the time. They're going from congregation to congregation. People are influenced by many different pastors, many different DCEs, many different teachers in their lives. And so this is why my goal in our district is every single congregation is involved and is speaking to specific people about considering the church work. We're kind of unique here because we're town gown and we also do the campus ministry. This paradigm that we have, I've been receiving my 36th vicar in a row here in about a month. And so we've had 36 vicars in a row and this whole bunch of people have become pastors through our campus ministry. So that's a collaboration between me and other congregations who send their young people to our campus ministry. They get to know our vicar. All of a sudden, they change their major and they decide to go to the seminary. We've got somebody right now who's just becoming a Lutheran, wants to go to the seminary. A guy 2 years ago went through our campus ministry. He wants to be a military chaplain. So that's unique to our situation doing town gown. But having a vicar and doing campus ministry is a really important way to raise up church workers. But I realize that's unique to a town gown setting.
Pastor Woodford, you've talked about schools and the collaboration with schools. Why is it particularly important to have collaboration with schools and the support of schools in this set apart to serve culture?
Right. I think that importance goes to the broader importance that we have collaboration across the whole synod and districts into our congregations. But I think it's to demonstrate the consistency of which we value and have as importance our church workers, the Office of the Holy Ministry, and our teaching offices, our DCEs, that are significant. And collaborating together, I think, even goes, this is one of the things I ventured at my congregation, is to teach across the synod that our workers are our assets and not liabilities. And the reason I say that is because I see this at the parish, serving in the parish level, but then also when I'm visiting so many congregations, financial challenges are certainly present across many congregations and many schools. And one of the typical ways that they go about balancing budgets is to do that by freezing salaries or doing things in ways that lower the morale of our church workers. And many of our church workers have been servants, and they're willing to take it on the chin, if you will, for the good of the church. But I think the collaborative effort is so important because we need to teach and demonstrate that the value of our church workers certainly is serving the Lord and being having a servant heart and willing to take a wage, of course, maybe that is less than market value. I don't think that we should be obligated to have to be that way. So I've been really challenging our churches to show and see how our workers are our assets. They're our greatest assets, and our collaborative effort across the synod is to be mindful and looking at, as the scripture says, pay the worker their wages. And so when we demonstrate that to those who are considering church work, who already have a servant heart and would be willing to, of course, consider others, we can mitigate the potential hardships of financial shortfalls or salary concerns along the way by showing congregations across the board as we collaborate together that we're going to value them as our assets. And we see that as so vitally important that our first place to cut won't be on the backs of our church workers, but we'll look at other areas. Maybe how can we give more and sacrifice in a stewardship way of the collaborative giving of a congregation to make sure our workers are taken care of.
Pastor Ahrens, I see you nodding. Your thoughts on this too, the demonstrating the value of our church workers.
Yes, and I think this is happening now by default. The collaboration and the need for this is because our congregations, we're a small district, but we need more pastors and more teachers. And the congregations are saying, well, we'd like to get a pastor. I said, we don't have enough to go around. You need to help us raise up pastor. I think people, and DCEs and teachers, people are realizing just by default, there aren't that many to go around now. If you want to help us, if you want to be involved in this process, you pretty much have to raise up somebody in your parish. People are just saying this. I don't know about Lucas's district. I've got like 10 congregations. We're only 80 churches that don't have a pastor and are trying to get pastors and just tell them, yeah, it's tough. We need more people at the seminaries. We need more people at the SMP program. So I think by default, our congregations are starting to realize this is just not an option. This is required. They have to help and collaborate, and raise up people in their own congregations. There's really no choice.
You've talked a little bit, Pastor Nairns, about the snowball effect of having so many vicars, of encouraging men to think about the pastoral ministry along the way in your many years of service. What benefits have you seen so far from the collaborative efforts, especially with Set Apart to Serve in your district and across Synod as well?
Well, I think because of Set Apart to Serve is so well advertised in this synod, I don't keep going back to pastors, but we do have a lot of teachers and DCEs too. Our first vice president, Chris Hall, is the one who handles all the interviews with people who want to attend the seminary. And pretty much all of them, through some effort Set Apart to Serve, their pastor has spoken to them, they saw a brochure or whatever. Pretty much all of them who are contacting us to do the initial interviews as to whether they should go to the seminary have heard about Set Apart to Serve or their pastors told them. So that's my experience here in Oklahoma, that it's pretty well advertised and they know what the need is.
Pastor Woodford, how have you seen the collaborative efforts across Set Apart to Serve in your district and Synod?
Yes, for us, and give credit to President Brian Friedrich at Concordia University in St. Paul as part of that, but we're working hand in glove in this, in our Set Apart to Serve, that our church work enrollment, so if we just look at enrollment numbers, there's a good statistic to measure. They have doubled in a matter of 4 years. So our pre-seminary and our church work teachers, that's one metric of looking at how we can look at how collaborative effect has happened. But across the district itself is looking, generating an enthusiasm for, hey, church work would be something good to go into and to serve the church. And so people to think along those lines, continue collaborative effort, even as my district have 232 congregations, but that's down. We're in a contracting environment, for example. Over the last 7 years, I've had to close 20 congregations. So we recognize the challenge that we have, and yet our enrollment in our schools continues to grow, and we're still short on pastors because we have the retirement bubble that's occurring. So we have a whole new environment in a secular, paganizing culture. But this is a great time to share the good news. This is a fantastic time to teach the good news and to teach children and developing that enthusiasm for it and recognizing how faith certainly is taught, but it's also caught. And the joy that it is when they see pastors who encounter challenges but love what they do. They see teachers who encounter challenges but love what they do and have that support, collaborative support and encouragement. So that makes, hey, this is something I want to do. I want to have what they have and do what they have in serving the church. So it's both kind of a quantitative as well as qualitative assessment that we take a look at in our collaborative efforts.
Pastor Woodford, what do you think it will take to cement church worker formation and recruitment into our culture as a church body and particularly in our congregations, schools, and districts?
Yeah, that is the question, I think, as we wrestle with the formation of our church workers. That's a big conversation going on in the Synod right now, and we want to have a clear and understood path of formation for pastors and for our teachers. But for me, it's going to go back to how do we value them, and how does the greater church see the value of our workers? Are we taking care of them, paying the wages that we have, and then that we have this regular encouragement for people, hey, continue to think about church workers, even as we have this changing environment for our schools. Again, it's a place where it's a positive encouragement for the students to have those interaction with teachers, likewise with pastors. So again, I think it's some of everything that we've been talking about to cement that in. If we had the magic wand, of course, we'd wave it and it would be done. But I think it is lots of little pieces in place that can put in place to encourage along the way. But I think the valuing of our worker and the treatment of our workers by the synod, by our congregations, by our districts, all lead the way.
Pastor Nierens, do you have anything to add?
Well, you know, he's got a unique situation there where he has one of our Concordias, you know, in his district, which, of course, we don't have in Oklahoma. I think the cementing it into the culture of our district just is making it clear to people that Set Apart to Serve is not a program. Set Apart to Serve is going to have to be permanent in our synod. I mean, I don't see this ever going away. I mean, so it really should be brought up in every congregation, in every school, every district meeting. Well, now till the Lord returns. I mean, This is not a program. This is an effort that has to continually go on. So I think cementing it into our congregation so that, you know, every time they meet, every time we have a district meeting, every time we have a district convention, there's always a group of people working on this. Set Apart to Serve, to me, there's no reason to ever change the name. They have all the brochures. Just get every congregation to put a part of their work and mission and efforts continually. It's just going to have to continue. So cement it in for good. That's what I'm saying.
Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Lucas Woodford, president of the LCMS Minnesota South District. He's also regent at Concordia University St. Paul and associate pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Farmington, Minnesota. Pastor Woodford, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And the Reverend David Nirens, president, LCMS Oklahoma District, and pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Norman, Oklahoma. Pastor Nirens, thanks for being our guest today.
Great to be with you. The Lord bless us with more workers.
Amen. You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.